We're joined this morning by Sarah Smith, Judge Sarah Smith. She is a candidate for the 5th District Appellate Court and our guest this morning. Sarah, it's good to talk to you again, ma'am.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me back.
Of course, we're 15 days away from the election. There's going to be some big items, of course, Supreme Court and the fair tax. And we talked earlier this morning with the 115th seat. And these judge seats, as you've often heard me say, I consider some of the most important races, but not always getting the focus they deserve. The 5th Appellate District Court is what we're talking about here today. Sarah, I'm curious about something. In my personal, kind of mantra in life is, you're not defined by success. You're defined by adversity. Can you give me an example of a challenge that you've met on the bench that you feel has helped define you and make you a better judge?
Well, sure. And I think it would be, sometimes as a circuit judge, you deal with some of the county races, and they can be very politically charged cases. And, some judges take the easy way out and they recuse themselves from it because, we do know a lot of the individuals in political, whether it be on the county board or particular office holders. But I've had a couple of very politically charged cases where there are times where I've ruled in what would be considered my party's view, which would be the Democratic view, or there would be times that I've ruled in the Republican's view. And I think those are the cases that really solidified me. And I ruled whatever way I ruled because the law instructed me to rule that way. So not, people on both sides and, weren't happy. But I think that really just, those were tough cases, and they just kind of grounded me onto, I will not be, it helps me because I won't be pressured by either party. I'm beholden to the law, and that's that.
What attracts you to the appellate court?
I think it's just a further study of the law. I love the trial court because that's where the action's at. That's where, the energy's flowing. When you see the attorneys, you've got to be on your game. Like I think I mentioned in the last interview, you're calling balls and strikes 100 miles an hour with objections, that sort of thing. And I think with the appellate court, I think it's just a deeper study of the law. Things slow down a little bit, and then you are able to study the law and the precedent deeper than you are at the trial level. And so I think that's why I would like to be on the appellate court.
There's a term that we've become very familiar with this year, social justice. What role do you think the courts play in achieving social justice, or any role at all?
Well, I think, all three branches have a role in social justice. I think that the problem that courts have is when they become politicized in exercising role and making sure there is social justice. So, we come from a very, we come from common law, and the value of precedent is key. And I think that's what legitimizes our entire legal system. And so it's when judges don't go off that precedent, and especially in issues with social justice, I think that's when you've got some problems. But I do think the courts have a role in it, absolutely.
A lot of people say that judges have now come to, legislate from the bench. I mean, when you look at that subject as being a judge and look coast to coast, do you think judges are legislating from the benches some places in this country?
I would agree with that. I do. I think, unfortunately, we've politicized the judiciary far too much, in my opinion. And I think we kind of touched on this with the last interview. Illinois is one of the few states where individuals have to run on as a partisan position. And in my opinion, I do believe they should be elected positions, but I don't think that they should be partisan. I think, oftentimes voters just look at a label of whatever party they're running on and then forget whatever the rulings we've made or, what kind of background or character or experience we have. So to go back to your question, yes, I do think, unfortunately, because we have politicized the judiciary far too much, I do think oftentimes politics creeps into the courtroom with some of these judicial decisions.
Yeah, and when you look at, and here's an example. I mean, we have actually a euphemism almost for it, the letter of the law and the spirit of the law, right? And
correct.
What's interesting is it took me a long time before I understood that. It's like having your cake and eat it, too. I didn't understand that, and after living in Illinois long enough, you understand it, what the euphemism means. But, when it comes to this, the letter of the law and the spirit of law, because you and I have seen this, and you've referenced it, I think, two, maybe even three times since you and I began speaking a few moments ago. You see a singular issue go through the courts, and judges have wildly different opinions on the outcome, even though they're reading the same book of law and, as you mentioned earlier, hopefully the same precedents.
Right. They do, and that's oftentimes when they're their political opinions may come into play. And again, as I mentioned, you know, a lot of the cases, especially at the appellate court, aren't cases of first impression. And I hate to keep harkening back on precedent, but I think, again, we are, unlike the civil law system, we are common law, and our foundation of our system is precedent. It provides predictability. It provides the stability that you're kind of talking about in our court system. And so, you know, when you go outside of that precedent and you tend to, you know, apply the law the way you would like it to be applied, I think that's when you get some of these wild, you know, wild opinions from different judges based on whatever their political or personal beliefs are.
Hard judging another human being. Is that hard? I've talked to a lot of judges about this, including judges that sentence the people to death. I'm like, how do you deal with that? And it was interesting. One of the judges that had done this, and we're setting a dinner, and he says, "I didn't. The law did."
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was interesting.
It is. It's a tremendous responsibility. I mean, the judicial position in itself is a tremendous responsibility. You have, you know, a significant amount of power. You've got a significant control over individuals' lives in those cases, as you mentioned, whether it be criminal cases where you're sentencing someone, whether it be juvenile cases where you're taking children away from parents, whether it be in landlord-tenant cases where you're kicking individuals out of their home. It's a tremendous responsibility. I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah. How do you deal with that?
For me, I rely on my faith that I'm doing the right thing. My whole political philosophy, my whole basis for everything is just making sure, you know, you're taking care of people and, you know, you're abiding by the law. And in those cases where you do have maybe some discretion, you know, my philosophy is, how is this best for people? What am I doing? What is my decisions? How are they, you know, being made for people? So that's kind of how I deal with it. And you surround yourself with a lot of, you know, solid jurists, you know, right, that you can talk to about some of these tougher decisions.
Yeah. That's one of the tough, well, you know, I was kind of raised, judge not lest you be judged. Well, at the same time, realizing if we don't have courts, we don't are willing to implement these laws, if we're not willing to follow through, they fall apart. As I said at the beginning of this interview, I don't think there are many more important jobs than the one that you're asking to have and the one that you have now.
Right.
I think there are a lot of, when it comes to keeping everything together, I think there's a lot of people with robes on in this country that maybe, underestimated the role they play. I'm kind of curious, when you have that kind of ability to rule, I mean, it's literally the word, I'm making a ruling about you. How do you police yourself knowing that you have the power? Because it's been my personal experience, the hardest thing I've ever come to terms with, and still trying, is managing myself and how I act and what I do and my decisions. And I can imagine with the allure of the power of being a judge that managing yourself has to be one of the most important things you do.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, as far as it goes for me, and this is some of the things that I'm trying to, you know, convince the voters, because it's oftentimes they're like, well, how do we know you're not going to go off the rails? And I think for me, you know, my military, being in the military for the last 26 years, I've had to abide by a lot of orders from, you know, my commanders that I may not necessarily have agreed with, but I know my duty and my loyalty is, you know, to my service. And as far as in the judicial role, my duty and my loyalty is to the people. This job isn't for me. It's not a title thing. It's not a power thing. It's for me to be a public servant. And so you just have to constantly remind yourself that that is your duty. Your duty is to serve the, you know, the public's interests and not your own. And that's kind of the way I police myself.
You know, it's interesting. I kind of have my own mantra that encompasses yours. I tell myself, it's not about me.
Right. Yep.
And it's weird because
every judge should think about that. Absolutely.
But they don't. But
right. Because I would agree with that.
You know, because there's some that, you know, are more spectacular, more flamboyant than others, we'll call it, for lack of a better word. Before I wrap up with you, we're speaking this morning, Democratic candidate Judge Sarah Smith. She's the candidate for the 5th District Appellate Court. Mark Bowie, who is her opponent, will be on same time tomorrow at 8:20. And we'll be talking very much about the same items that Sarah and I have talked about today. This part will be different, however, and that's your background. Milliken University, was it?
Correct. For my undergrad.
Yeah. Where else did you go?
And then I went to law school in, out in Virginia Beach at Regent University. It's a small private Christian school.
Talk to me about your military background.
So I come first of, you know, 50-something cousins that was able to graduate from law or from college, and my dad was a union lineman and said, "You better figure out a way to pay for college." I knew I always wanted to be a lawyer, so I enlisted right out of high school as a mechanic in the Army, and then just put my way through school. Once I graduated law school, I was able to commission as a JAG officer, and I've been serving ever since. I'm currently a colonel in the Illinois Army National Guard, a two-time combat veteran, and I'm married to a wonderful husband who's an active-duty military guy.
Where'd you serve overseas?
Kosovo and Afghanistan.
Oh, real hot spots.
Yeah, well, Afghanistan was a tough year. We lost 37 out of the, and I know you've got some involvement with the National Guard, but we lost 37 good folks in our tour to Afghanistan during that year.
Yeah, I was just talking to some of my folks, and I can't get into details over the weekend, but our guys that just left from the National Guard, of course, they had the send-off ceremony at SIU. I think they're going to be getting back into the year. They never made it to Afghanistan. They've been parked in the desert.
Yeah, my husband is actually, like, 2 weeks ago, right at the end of this campaign, just left for his fourth tour to the Middle East. So
he's going to Afghanistan, too?
Well, I can't really kind of say where, but over in that neck of the woods.
Right. It's interesting because I alluded that point that he's parked in the desert. I didn't tell you which one.
Right.
So we both know we're a good military family. You keep your mouth shut.
You do.
Got to know where the line is there. In the final moments that we have, Judge Sarah Smith joining us this morning. Sarah, when it comes to the appellate court, you and I spoke last time about the appellate court as the tacit, if nothing else, admission that people make mistakes and there's an opportunity for you to make things right again. That's the appeals court. Why should you receive people's votes in the appeal court 15 days from now? Why Sarah Smith?
Well, because as I mentioned, I've got a loyal duty to uphold the Constitution and to serve the public. And I think that's been proven by my past 26 years of military experience. I believe that the qualifications, the background, the character to truly uphold the law when it comes to the appellate court without any, my mettle has been tested. I have ruled in very politically charged cases. The fact that I'm running as a Democrat does not sway me whatsoever on the appellate court. And so I just hope that the voters have the faith and confidence in me, and I would be proud to serve as your next appellate court judge here on November 3rd.